Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's old time Holy Spirit. And never one go near it. That's the reason people fear it. But it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lie. It will save you when you die. It will start the day of flying. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good, I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Thank you, Lord, for these tithes offerings. Let you bless them, bless your children. We commit the rest of the service into your hands. Be with us and fulfill all our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We can take our seat. Is Esther ready? And children? To bless the church? Amen.
Righteousness. Nothing else in all the world satisfy your soul. But the one who made the universe, he longs to make you whole. So humble yourself before your Lord and King. Give him your heart, offer your everything. There's no limit on the Lord he has for you. So humble yourself and see what God will do. La 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 la. If my people humble themselves and pray, I will hear them and lead them in my way. So humble himself and let him have his way. Love his words and his will obey. For his eyes are on the one whose heart is true. So humble yourself and see what God will do. Humble yourself before your Lord and King. Give him your heart, offer your everything. There's no limit on the love he has for you. So humble yourself and see what God will do.
Amen. Sometimes needs even desperation with humbling ourselves. I heard Brother David. Amen. 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 That's good. That's good. Like Brother David gave that testimony last Sunday, how he got visitation and he got his papers. Oh, praise be his name. Amen. May that be our testimonies, brothers. When we humble ourselves, that God would visit us in special way. That we glorify his name. Amen. Let's sing that song, One of Them. One of Them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere, hearts are full of flame, with the fire that fell on Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Now those people may not go on me nor boast. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them. glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and powerful service came. Now that I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, sit this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. Now is burning now within my heart, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, just a closer walk with Him. Jesus is my plea, walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. Yes, Lord, amen. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. World of toils and snares, if I felt a Lord who cares, who with me my burdens share, none but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is over,
time, for we will be no more. Guide me gently, flee over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Once more, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
You're in a good condition if that's your plea.
Amen.
Just a closer walk with him.
Amen.
Daily. My, wonderful. I'm sure that's how Enoch was when he walked with God.
Amen.
Just a closer walk with thee. And the walk became so close until the Lord took him.
Amen.
That's our type. Let's read Zechariah chapter 4, saints. God bless you this morning.
Amen.
We greet you in his name.
Amen.
It's good to be in his house.
Amen.
It's good to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Our scripture reading will show who reads their Bible. Let's read Zechariah chapter 4. There'll be a little bit more turning of pages than normal, as is the case. Zechariah chapter 4. Let's read from verse 6. This is the commission which was given to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Amen. Let's read Haggai chapter 2, just the book before Zechariah, Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. Look at this promise that the Lord gave to the people in the book of Haggai. If you just turn it down a little bit, brush up. It says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. What a promise. Let's pray. Father, bring in your word back unto you upon this day. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's manna, it's spiritual food in due season. When you quicken it unto us, Father, when you mix the oil in with the meal, Father, it becomes something that will sustain us right to the end of the journey, Lord. No matter if there's a famine outside, but Father, there's spiritual food in due season. So may you bless the portion of word unto us upon this day. Father, we long that you'd grant us that mercy to minister that opening unto us upon this day into that channel, Lord, that you desire us to be. That each and every one of us, Lord, may forget about ourselves, may forget about tomorrow, may forget about yesterday. Father, that you may concentrate on you. That, Father, you'd speak unto us, Lord. Father, a word for us today. Father, each and every one of us desire that at this time, Lord. Father, we're looking unto thee to bless the service, bless your people. Father, how we long to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, dedicating each petition up unto thee, thankful for every testimony. Thankful, Father, for the things that you do. You be glorified. Bless your people gathering in like manner to the north and the south and the east and the west. Let your word go forth out of Zion upon this day is our desire. As Father, we commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. Just want to take this thought before we come to the rest of the proceedings today. Taking it from the book of Zechariah, let's have a look at this Zerubbabel's commission. This commission to Zerubbabel, because we know that this is again a prophecy concerning our day. We know Zerubbabel, we'll see it, who he types. We are under this commission of Zerubbabel. Now, to get a bit of a background, just so we can get into it, these books are wonderful books if you read them. The book of Haggai, the book of Zechariah, the book of Malachi. These are all prophets that God raised up in the time of restoration. Amen. When the people were coming out of Babylon now and the Lord wanted to build his house so that the Lord could come to his temple. These are all of the books, including the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. All of these books together, it's this great restoration move. And we know that we're living in exactly the same kind of a day. Because you find that this time, look in Ezra chapter 1, just to show you the time of these things, it'll show you exactly the same as the day we're living in. Ezra 1 verse 1, it says, "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia." So we've just had Babylon. That was the head of gold. We know that. But Cyrus has raised up the Medes and Persians. This is the first year of his reign. He's just brought judgment upon Babylon. So at the same time that judgment is going forth on Babylon to destroy Babylon, who's taken the sons and daughters of God into captivity for the 70 years, at the same time God raises up Cyrus now, and there's an anointing goes forth for restoration. Which is exactly our age. If you take Revelations chapter 18, judgment upon Babylon. But there's a voice that says, "Come out of her, my people." Amen. So it's always like that. When it's judgment upon Sodom, grace is going to come to Abraham. When it's judgment in the days of Noah, God's going to grant grace to his elect, his predestinated at that time. So it's always like that. There's going to be two anointings we're going to respond to, friends, every one of us here today. Either we're responding to this anointing of restoration for the Lord to fill his temple with his glory, or we're in Babylon, or we're responding to this other anointing. So all of these books fit together at this kind of a time. It actually starts, if you go back to the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah prophesied that thus saith the Lord, that people shall go into captivity for 70 years. But after 70 years be accomplished, I will visit my people once again. And I will cause them to return back to the place to where they were before they went into captivity. And then Daniel comes 100 years later. He's reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. And he sees that seal broken in his day. He recognizes his day's message. He knows the time has come. Amen. It's 68 years have passed. 2 years to go before this, the time is fulfilled. And he gets stirred up inside of himself, Daniel. And he starts to seek the Lord. And he starts to make confession for himself and for his father's house. We know the scripture. Why was he doing that? Because he saw the time had come. God's appointed time had come. And the problem with us as the people of God, we normally sit at ease in Zion, and God has to come and light some fire under our chairs sometimes, or bring some persecution, bring some sort of strife, in order for the people to stir themselves like in the first Exodus. Now, Daniel wasn't that kind of a man. Daniel is a man under an eagle anointing. He was living at the time of the destruction of Babylon. He was a man that God had commissioned and called right from the days of his youth. He didn't need circumstances to stir him up. He needed prophecy to stir him up. He took the message of the hour. He was reading what the prophet Jeremiah had said. And that stirred him up to seek the Lord his God. Because he knew the appointed season, the appointed time had come. But when he looked around in Babylon, around the kingdom where he was, he saw, but the people aren't stirring themselves up. And there's a reason always for that. But he stirred himself up because he didn't want God's work not to be fulfilled the way that it should have been fulfilled. So he started to seek the face of the Lord his God. So Daniel now comes and he's there right the way through the 70 years of captivity. And then he sees the fall of Babylon. And just as the fall of Babylon is judged, it's destroyed now by Cyrus. Cyrus raises up now and he gives this commission. And he says, "Whosoever they be of the Lord his God, the Lord has commissioned me to build him a house in Jerusalem." Amen. That's what the commission was. Amen. The commission wasn't for anything else. The commission wasn't for them to build their houses, or that was part of it. But the commission that came forth from Cyrus, who's a perfect type of Christ at that time, was for the Lord's house to be restored.
Amen.
And the Lord had one aim, and that is He wanted to fill that house with His glory.
Amen.
And anything short of that, they hadn't yet fulfilled the commission. The commission went forth, whosoever is of the Lord, let him return to Jerusalem. For this, the God of Jerusalem has said it's time for His house to be restored.
Amen.
It's time for it to go back. Now, Solomon had built the temple. God had filled it with His glory to such an extent the ministers couldn't minister. The priests couldn't go in to minister. That was the beginning of the church age, as the prophet says in the Old Testament, was the glory filling the temple. Now they'd gone through the dark ages, they'd gone through the Babylonian captivity. The temple had been destroyed. There was just a little bit of hurt, not the oil and wine. But now the season for restoration had come. God had says, now I'm going to build my house built once again. And He says, and the glory of the former house is not to be compared with the glory of the latter house.
Amen.
That was a great promise, friends.
Amen.
That was a great promise. But the surprising thing is, like we said last week or the week before, only 49,000 of the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were stirred up inside of their hearts to leave the land of their captivity. Out of all of those millions of Jews that were there, all of this singing about by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, oh, we wept when we remembered Zion. But when it came time now for a commission to be given, when the Lord opened something up to His people to say it's time for the people to go back, leave, separate yourself, come out from among them. It's time to go and build my house once again. It's time to go and establish the worship according to the faith of the fathers, the faith that had once been appointed unto them. There weren't that many people that were willing to pay the price. Weren't many people willing to pay that price, but there were. God had enough people. There was a remnant of His people. And these 49,000 people, they leave. They travel all the way through the swamps and through the valleys and the deserts. They come back now to Jerusalem. Everything's been destroyed. The walls are broken down. There's no temple. There's just the base of the altar. No, just the foundation of where it used to be. That's all that there is. All of the old houses are destroyed. The lands, nothing's been grown in there for a long time. It's not an easy thing. Friends, it's not an easy thing to walk with God in your age. It's not an easy thing to fulfill your commission. Your commission doesn't fulfill itself.
Amen.
There's going to have to be obstacles. There's going to have to be trials. There's going to have to be trees you're going to have to uproot. There's going to have to be briar patches you have to go through. There's going to have to be valleys and rivers you're going to have to ford. There's going to have to be enemies. There's going to be diseases. There's going to be danger. But that's all part of the commission. If you wanted to walk with God in your day, if you wanted to see God's purpose fulfilled once again. So there were people that walked in the vision.
Amen.
These people, when Cyrus opened that proclamation, when Daniel was there preaching to them, telling them the time has come, brethren. This is what the prophet told us. The prophet told us that after 70 years, He was going to visit us. The Lord is going to visit us once again.
Amen.
These people saw their names. They saw their names and they responded to that anointing. It was an eagle anointing that was released through Jeremiah, then through Daniel the prophet. And then Cyrus comes with the royal proclamation and says, whoever goes forth, all the resources that you need to get the job done, I'll give you the resources. Because friends, the king will never commission you to do something if he doesn't give you the resources to get the job done. What good would it be to say, go and build the house of the Lord again, hope you find some wood when you get there. Hope that there's some friends you got in the quarries there to quarry the stone. He doesn't. He gives in the commission. When that seal was opened, everything was under that seal.
Amen.
That anointing that was released had every resource that they needed to get this job done. And it's the same in our age. The prophet says, what does the church have to do? There's only one thing, respond to the anointing.
Amen.
And he says, if you need anything, he'll bring it to you. He knows exactly what we need. So these people responded to this anointing in their day. And like the Lord names them, like we said the other night in Ezra chapter 2, you'll find them, all the families listed, how many they were. God is going to make sure, putting in His word, that He knew these people by name. These were people that had seen their names recorded in the book. So God went and recorded their names in the book. As an example for us, Because the scripture says all these things were written for our examples, that we should learn from them. And they respond and they come back now. You know, they're men of vision. The prophet speaks of men of vision. These were people that had a vision. You know, they weren't so interested in the economy and commerce of the place where they had been. The problem is at this time, if you go and read history, the Jews went and settled down in Persia and became all the shop owners and, you know, all the merchants of the land, which they're known for now. That was the time they really started to prosper. And then the anointing came forth and said, go back. There's a commission to build his house. And the people said, but it's too comfortable here. Hey, we're making good money. You know, the exchange rate is good. Why do we want to go back and build the house of the Lord? You know, we'd rather establish our own things. But there were certain people that were willing to pay the price. Certain people that were willing to sacrifice to become a burnt offering for the Lord, to lay themselves upon the altar and say, no, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Now these people responded and they started to move under this anointing, and then they came back to Jerusalem just in this season, exactly in this prophetic season. So these were prophetic people living in a prophetic time. They responded in such a prophetic time. It was a prophetic age. It was a real eagle age. And friends, that's exactly the age that we're living in. They'd been called out of all this confusion of Babylon, all of the confusion that their parents' worship had brought upon them. God separated them from the worship of their parents. And God brought them back again to pure worship. Brought them back again to the original faith. Brought them back to the original altar that had been built right in the beginning. God brought them back to that place and said, come and worship me the original way. Come and worship me on the original altar, the original foundation. That was what Zerubbabel was commissioned to do. To take the people back and to rebuild the altar so that the people could worship in this time. It was a judgment time, but it was a blessed time as well. So in Ezra chapter 3, they rebuild the altar. Let's look at that in verse 10. Ezra 3 verse 10, and it says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests and the apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, and his mercy endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Our friends, it was great. They found the original place for the temple. They laid the foundation once again. And they came and they rebuilt the altar exactly in the place where the altar used to be. Ah, friends, it's a wonderful thing. It's a good starting point to rebuild the altar in the right place. You'll find it right throughout the scripture. Whenever somebody got away from the Lord, the first thing they had to do, they had to come back to the altar, the original altar. Abraham, when he lost the vision and he went down into Egypt, before he could get back into the channel of his calling to fulfill his purpose, what did he have to do? He went back to the original altar that he laid between Bethel and Ai. And he went back and he rebuilt and re-consecrated that altar and he offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. You'll always find that. So that's a real type of our age, because Elijah shall first come and restore all things. But the first thing that has to be restored is the altar. The first thing that has to be reestablished is worship under the blood in your day. There's got to be an acceptable offering. There's got to be reconciliation made. And when the people came down, they started to offer on that altar. God's prescribed sacrifices were made for the first time in 70 years. It was like this kind of worship that people started to rejoice, to say, this is wonderful. This is so good for the sons and daughters of God to gather and to worship the King. But friends, be careful that you don't rejoice too soon. Because I haven't fulfilled the commission yet.
Amen.
The commission was the Lord's house must be built. And until the Lord's house is built, until his glory fills the house, the commission isn't yet fulfilled.
Amen.
You know, they started well. They came to a certain point that established worship in a certain way. They gathered together under the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll find if you go and read it, just when they got there, they gathered from the farmlands and so forth. They haven't yet built their houses properly yet, but it came to the Feast of Tabernacles, and they came and they worshiped the Lord according to the law of Moses under the Feast of Tabernacles. And they offered now, the priests offered, and it was good. It was wonderful, friends, the way things had started. God had begun a wonderful work. People had responded to this wonderful work. Things had been established to a certain point at that time. But let's not forget, when they came out of Babylon, they came out with a commission. And friends, when God called you and I out of Babylon, He gave us a commission. We are under the Joshua Commission. We are under the commission of Zerubbabel in our age. We'll see that, and that commission is to build Him a house that His glory may dwell there. That His glory may fill His house. And friends, we can rejoice, we can sing, we can praise, and we must. But let's not take our eye off the real aim of all of these things. The real aim, we want a spiritual house. We want a place where His glory can fill. We want a place like the original temple that was made, and our original temple, back to the faith of the fathers. Let's go and see what God did to the former house in our church ages. He filled it with His glory. He filled 120 with His glory in the upper room. And they went forth and they changed the world in the age. That was the commission given to Zerubbabel, to restore that worship, to restore it so that God could come and fill His house. Now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We can build a house, and it's good for us to do that. We can build a church to the Lord. But let's never be distracted from the real commission. Amen. Let's never forget the real aim that you are separated from Babylon is to build Him a spiritual house. Amen. A place that His glory may settle and dwell, and that He may be glorified. Amen. And if we fall short of that, we're falling short of our commission. Amen. We may do all manner of other things, but that is the real purpose of our calling. That's what we are called out of Babylon to do. Amen. So they came back now to the homeland. They came to the promised land, just like you and I. The message of the hour is the homeland. It's the promised land. Yeah. And they came at first with this definite object, this definite objective. God, they knew God has brought us together, us 49,000. Out of all of the people, God has brought us together at this place in this time under divine commission. To do something for Him. We didn't just gather just by chance. Others stayed behind. Others were living according to their races and tribes and customs and cultures. But they knew God has separated us from there and has brought us to here for a specific purpose, a specific commission. And that was to build the house of God. And things went so well. And that was Zerubbabel's commission. We know that. Now, listen about Zerubbabel. I'll just explain what the prophet says about his commission. Zechariah 4 verse 9, if you can put it up there, sister, just to show once again the scripture that we read. This was Zerubbabel's commission. Zerubbabel being this great prince that was sent forth out of captivity, he was the leader. He was of the lineage of David. So he was the leader of the people. Zechariah 4 verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So friends, when God raises up a Zerubbabel, when God commissions someone to come out of Babylon and to build His house, it'll never be that he just lays the foundation. He must finish the house, and the capstone must come to that house. The headstone must come forth. Then he's fulfilled his commission. Same as you in your Christian life, it's good to repent, it's good to be baptized in water. Don't stop short. You haven't fulfilled your commission until His glory fills the house. Until the capstone, which is perfect love, comes and caps that building, you're still in the process of fulfilling the commission. Because the commission is for the glory to fill the house. Now, the prophet says a message of grace. He reads these scriptures and he says, do you see? We're all acquainted with the scripture in the Bible. We know this was during the time of the preparation of the restoration of the temple. And Zerubbabel was a great prince among the people who had laid the foundation of the building. Now, I want you to put on your spiritual thinking anointing jacket this morning as we think. And this great prince had determined to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then when he did, he laid the foundation stone. And as we read on further, we find that God said, Zerubbabel's laid the foundation. He also shall bring forth the headstone. I want you to notice, he said, never bring forth the cornerstone. He said, he shall bring forth the headstone. He had laid the foundation. He took the people back to the foundation in type. So the first thing he had to do was restore the foundation. Amen. And friends, that's what the message did. Amen. The message came to uproot. Jeremiah was told, you must go and uproot. You must go and destroy. You must go and break down. Amen. Then you build and then you plant. Because there was so much inside of us that needed to be uprooted.
Amen.
So much of us that was false, that had been built in, built on a false foundation. That Elijah had to come and, or Jeremiah had to come, and then Elijah in his day had to come. He has to break things down. He has to, you know, and people say, why is the message sometimes critical? It has to be. Because friends, we're coming out of Babylon. He's not going to build a house filled with Babylonian worship. He's going to have to destroy all of the idols of Babylon, all of the systems of Babylon. He's going to have to cleanse his people, cleanse his house. And then he says, good, we've broken out Babylon. Now let's start to build. And the first thing that he did, he builds the foundation in type, the prophet says. That's why there's got to be the restoration of the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, to the fathers. There has to be a restoration. Otherwise, you're never going to have a house that he can fill with his glory. It's got to be according to the heavenly pattern. It's got to be according to the heavenly vision as shown to Moses in the mount. Make sure you do everything according to the heavenly pattern. Friends, it's not your opinion that counts. It's not my opinion that counts. It's what's under the commission, what was sealed under the seal of our commission, which was opened up in our day by our Zerubbabel who came first to lay the foundation and then he'll bring forth the headstone. And then the house will be filled with his glory.
Amen.
And the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former.
Amen.
That's a serious promise, friends.
Yes.
That's a serious age that we're living in. But let's never forget that. As we were speaking at the officers meeting the other week and to the young people, the youth today, is that we need on a regular basis to assess what we're doing. Because friends, we can become traditional like in Babylon.
Amen.
We can do things because we've always done it that way. We can have services in a certain format, certain fashion, because that's the way we always did it. But the thing we need to really ask, is this effective towards helping us fulfill our commission?
Amen.
If it's not effective towards helping us fulfill the commission, let's get rid of it.
Yes.
Let's not follow tradition. If we've always done things a certain way, and it's not helping us get to a stage, we're getting closer and closer to his glory filling the house. Friends, let's call a halt.
Amen.
Let's consider our ways and say, what is it inside of here that God is not quickening?
Amen.
What is inside of here that's not allowing us to move step by step to fulfill this commission that we're under?
Amen.
We need to do it. We need to assess things honestly. Let's assess our Sunday school. Let's assess our youth. Let's assess our Wednesday services. Let's assess our prayer meetings. Let's assess everything that we do, the way we minister and the way we have our conventions. And let's be honest with ourselves and say, are these things effective?
Amen.
Are these things moving us somewhere? Or are these things just traditions that every so many months we invite people to come and preach, we have a nice time, we go home. But it hasn't done anything for us. I'm sure you don't want that, friends. As we said, we want to redeem the time. We only have so much time, so much resource. You don't have limitless time. You only need how certain times of the week. You only have certain times to gather together with the sons and daughters of God. So we want to try to seek the grace of God to make sure we redeem that time.
Amen.
That time is as effective as it possibly can be. And that's why we need to be honest sometimes to really go and assess and look and start to modify certain things and change certain things and try to move things in a certain direction. As we were saying at that meeting and this morning, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Now, if a branch is not bringing forth fruit, why keep the branch on the vine? It's just using resources, but it's not bringing forth fruit.
Amen.
Cut it off, Jesus said. Purge that vine, that branch, so that those resources can go into the fruitful branch.
Amen.
And then it brings more excellent fruit. So sometimes you need to cut off certain things, prune certain things, purge certain things in your life as well. What is hindering you from bringing forth more excellent fruit? Amen. You might have certain friendships that you've got. Some of them need to be purged.
Amen.
If you want to bring forth more excellent fruit, you need to purge some of your friendships. Some of the way you spend your time. You might spend your time, the prophet says, in wasteful living. Just, you know, all these foolish things that we do. And sometimes you look and say, but I'm not really making progress inside of my Christian walk. Take an honest look and see, but why am I not being effective in my calling? Why is it not the desired effect being worked inside of me? And sometimes you need to cut certain things off. Separate yourself from certain things. Put more focus and attention on those things that are quickened by God inside of your life. Let the resources, divert the resources into the right channel. Spend time. You know, like we were saying, don't just, you know, take your Bible in the morning and eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Try to find a verse. There's a certain word inside of it. He wants to speak to you today.
Amen.
There's something that will make you more effective today.
Amen.
There's a word in season that's anointed to give you overcoming power today.
Amen.
That's effective when you find. That's effective Bible reading.
Amen.
When you're going to listen to a message, it's not just. It's praying first and saying, Lord, you know where I am.
Amen.
You know what I'm going through. You know the challenges inside of my life. You know the enemy, the way he's attacking me. You know the guns of the enemy are against me, Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you promise to raise up a standard to meet him.
Amen.
So, Lord, you guide and direct me to a word in season, to something which is the sword of the Spirit at this time that can help me to prevail and overcome.
Amen.
And you start becoming more productive. You start focusing and putting attention on the things that help and the things that work and the things that move you onwards. And you start cutting off those unproductive things.
Amen.
You start laying them aside. No matter how much you might have done them for, no matter how many years. If they're not bringing forth the fruits, I don't really know whether it's worth our while paying attention to those kind of things. So we need to be honest and take an assessment and check our foundation many times.
Amen.
Elijah was sent first thing he did. He didn't go to the altar of Baal where they were jumping up and down and cutting themselves. He went to the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down. And he took those 12 stones, one for each of the sons of Abraham, yeah? The tribes of Israel. And he rebuilt the altar.
Amen.
That's it. He rebuilt the original altar in the original place where it used to be. I'm sure it wasn't the first time Elijah had been to that altar. I'm sure he'd been there many, many times. And that's why he came and he rebuilt it at that time. There's something about rebuilding the altar. But friends, the altar is not enough. Remember when we did the tabernacle, the altar is good, the brazen altar. It's for the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
If you've got a guilty conscience and you're separated from God by your sin, you would come, you'd bring the prescribed sacrifice, a bullock, a goat, a lamb, a turtle dove, depending on our ritual. You would bring it to the priest by the brazen altar. That's the first thing you would meet in the tabernacle, was the brazen altar. And there you would lay your hands, press down upon that animal. Because the weight of sin is heavy upon the burden bearer. And you would confess your sins. And as soon as there was guilt and confession, your sin was transferred onto the sacrifice. And as soon as there was a transference of sin and guilt, blood had to be shed.
Amen.
That animal would be sacrificed and the priest would skin the animal, take certain things, the kidneys and different parts, and go and burn it as an offering upon the altar. And the blood would mix with the fire, would mix with the coals, and would go up as a sweet savor before the Lord. And the Lord would look down through the bloody smoke and he would accept your sacrifice. And then all the burden was gone. You could feel, I'm back in fellowship with God once again. There is a reconciliation that's been made. That's fine, but that's not enough. Because there's other parts also in the temple. You've got to move from there next to the brazen laver.
Amen.
Which speaks of two things. It speaks of water baptism. And it speaks of the washing of the waters of the word. Sanctification. That the power that's in the word will sanctify you.
Amen.
If you've got dirty thoughts, you know you overcome them through the word.
Amen.
You pray. You get yourself in the word. And there's a sanctifying power in the word of God.
Amen.
It washes you.
Amen.
Paul said he'll wash his bride with the washing of the waters by the word. That's the power of sanctification.
Amen.
That's how if you get out of tune with God, you just pour yourself in prayer, pour yourself in the Word.
Amen.
And you'll find you'll just be washed. You'll find now the compass starts pointing to the North Star once again.
Amen.
Things start lining up once again inside of your experience. That's good, but that's still not the end of it all. Because what was the tabernacle for? Because the Shekinah glory was dwelling in the tabernacle.
Amen.
Never be satisfied just with the brazen laver. The next thing was for the priesthood now. Now you got washed by Moses. You got clothed by Moses in the Levitical robes of the priesthood. And now you got anointed by Moses. Then you could go into the next veil. Now you could walk in the light of the candlestick. Now you could come to the showbread, the 12 loaves of bread, speaking of the covenant people. The bread of his face, the showbread. That bread that was always before the face of God, typing the sons and daughters of God. That's also types the manna. That showbread, that bread the priests only could eat in the presence of the Shekinah glory. No one else, David ate it. Remember that time? It was only for the priests. That's still not enough. Let's keep going. Then we get to the golden altar just before the veil of the most holy place. This is the altar of incense.
Amen.
This speaks of intercession. This speaks of prayer before the throne of God. Now you're moving on in your calling, getting deeper and deeper. Now you're coming and the priest would come and offer prayer. He'd take incense, pour it upon coals from the brazen altar. And that incense would come before the Lord as a sweet savor. And as he offered the incense at the hour of prayer, all of the people would be outside and would offer their prayer at that time. Because it wasn't just your prayer coming before the Lord. It was mixed with sweet incense. And it's like when we get in the spirit of prayer, it's not just you praying. It's the power of the intercession of the Holy Ghost mixing together with your natural prayer to make something that's acceptable before the Lord. So you've moved into that realm. But that's still not the end of it, friends. There's now another veil. And then he dwells there. And to any believer, you will never be satisfied just at the brazen altar. You'll never be satisfied just because you've been washed at the brazen laver. You'll never be satisfied just because you've been washed and anointed and dressed by the prophet in your day. You'll never. You'll never be satisfied just because you've entered the priesthood now and you can walk in the light of the candlesticks. You can go and partake of the showbread. You can go to the golden altar of incense. You'll never be satisfied because the only thing that satisfies you and me is His Shekinah glory.
Amen.
And to go beyond the veil, that's a type of what? Of you being filled with His glory.
Amen.
The prophet says, coming to a place where the veil shuts behind you. And you're almost soundproof. You don't hear all of the unbelief out there. Oh, this, that, all the fusses and all the things going on. You're in the presence of the Shekinah. And there's the manna, the pot of manna, which never went stale. It was always fresh. And you could partake of the manna day in and day out. Because you were dwelling in the presence of the King. And that's why the tabernacle types that. There's all the different stages of the walk of the believer. And sometimes it's good to see, but where am I in this journey? And if we're not yet beyond the veil, we haven't come to the inner veil that he preaches about, we haven't yet fulfilled the commission.
Amen.
We haven't yet got to the place that he's calling us to. There's a voice from the supernatural place that's calling you. There's a deep within the veil that's calling to the deep that's within inside of your veil. And as you respond and as you yield and lay yourself as a sacrifice, lay aside all unbelief, he takes you within the veil. Ah, friends, that's what you want. And that's what this types, this restoration move as well in the days of Zerubbabel, is that it wasn't enough for them just to build the altar. That was good. For them to raise the brazen laver, once again, wonderful. For them to lay the foundation of the temple, they rejoiced because of it, but that's never going to be enough. Because the commission said, no, the same man who comes with an anointing to lay the foundation again is the same man who comes with an anointing and a message to bring the headstone. And that was the aim of it all, is that God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. Now, there's always going to have to be opposition. Because when Satan sees you doing well, sees you making progress, See as a quickening power come into experience. See that you're sincere and you're serious in the things that you're doing. Friends, he wouldn't be doing his job if he just sat on his hands. He wouldn't be. He doesn't mind the hypocrite. He doesn't mind Mr. Lukewarm, Mr. Make-Believer, Mr. Unbeliever. But when the real believer starts to move under the commission, he doesn't like that. And that's why they lay the foundation. They're rejoicing. This is going to be so wonderful. God's brought us together in this place. He's allowed us to establish him a house of worship. Oh, nothing's going to stop us now. Be careful. Don't speak too soon. Because Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel. The adversaries. You've got yours. Amen. Powers and principalities in heavenly places. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of this current darkness. But the way they work, friends, this demonic dark horde that's against you and I, they don't come and reveal who they really are.
Amen.
They find vessels. And they found the inhabitants of the land. The people that when the people had been taken into captivity, there were certain people that came and took their place. There were these like hybrid believers there. No, they mixed the message with other things and all that. And what did they do now? When they saw, these people are making ground, Satan wouldn't leave it like that. And these people came to Zerubbabel, verse 2, and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. Let's build together. Our friend Zerubbabel had a revelation. He had a real revelation. He knew you can only build together with people that are under the same commission.
Amen.
These adversaries, they never knew anything about Zerubbabel's commission. They never separated themselves from their fathers and the land they'd been dwelling in. They never made a single sacrifice to come from where they were to bring themselves to the house of the Lord. And Zerubbabel looks and says, there's something funny about believers like this. They said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esau, Hadden, the king of Assyria, which brought us up from hither. Verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Joshua, they were also under a Joshua commission. And the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God.
Amen.
Why? You can only build with people of the same spirit.
Amen.
You can only build with people under the same anointing.
Amen.
These people didn't have the eagle anointing.
Amen.
They never were sent there by the proclamation of Cyrus the king. They weren't under that commission. These were other people who came to trouble them in building. It's always going to be like that, friends.
Amen.
You're always going to have three kinds of believers. You try to build something, see how people will try to pull it down. Try to do something for the Lord. It's not going to be many times the people out there that are going to give you a hard time. Where does the trouble come from? People trouble in the building. It has to be like that. And what is the aim and objective of this trouble that's brought? Is to get you to lose the vision. That's what it is. Is to get you to forget the real commission that you were appointed by Cyrus to fulfill. And you'll say, no, the devil never win. It worked here. In the type, we're looking under the seal ourselves. We see ourselves under the seal in this story. And we see it worked. These key people came and frustrated them so much. Verse 3, where we're reading, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together. I like that. Us 49,750, whatever it was, that came out under this commission. That God put our names together under the seal. When Cyrus opened the seal, we saw our names there. We didn't see your names there. We don't see you in Ezra chapter 2. What are you doing here? That's all it's like, it, friends. God doesn't predestinate like we said on Friday. God predestinates you to your burning bush experience. It's an individual thing, but God calls you under a move in your age. And you're predestined to be together with the elect of that day. There's a predestination of who God puts you with. He says that. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. As King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. They knew their commission, friends. They knew who they were. They knew what they were raised up for.
Amen.
As we sing the song. They knew what they were there for. We're here to build him a house. He set us free. He delivered us from Babylon. He gave us the resources. He gave us the protection. He gave us letters to the keeper of the forest and to the people in charge of the quarries and so forth. A royal proclamation. He gave us the resources under the breaking of this seal in our age. All the resources that we need have been ministered to us. That's us. Now, we don't know who you are. We don't know where we find you in this story. We don't know where you are. When they came out in the first Exodus, under Moses, who came out with them? A mixed multitude.
Amen.
And it was the mixed multitude that troubled them, friends.
Amen.
Friends, there's only two groups of people you'll find in the story. Those that are anointed to help fulfill the commission, and those that are anointed to hold them back from fulfilling the commission.
Amen.
And as for me and my house, I want to be the one, not the other.
Amen.
And I'm sure you're the same. There's no other groups of people here.
Amen.
Either you're with us or you're against us.
Amen.
Either you're here today to help us fulfill the commission of Zerubbabel in our age, or you're here to frustrate us.
Amen.
You're here to weaken the hands of the people in the building.
Amen.
I'd never choose that, friends. I don't want to see my name. The prophet says somebody has to play the part of Judas.
Amen.
Nobody knew that it was Judas, but somebody had to play that part. Judas didn't know that was him. But somebody has to fulfill that part as well. And friends, I would think better things of each and every one of us here. Better than that, we were appointed unto something like that. I'd rather see myself in the type of these that saw their names under this edict that was given by Cyrus. So Zerubbabel knows you can only build with people that have a reality of the same commission. And friends, that's why we have voting for offices. Why? Because there's people that are there with the same commission, same anointing, but gifted in different ways to help to achieve the purpose. And what is the purpose? We want to build him a house so that his glory comes and fills his house. That's our aim. Anything that comes in the way, no, we don't want to get distracted anymore to the left or to the right. Because that's what this was. This was one big distraction in this move.
Amen.
Just to distract them, just to weaken them, just to frustrate them.
Amen.
Friends, but there comes a point when you come through the frustration and the weakening and all the disappointments and God brings you out the other end, you're not going to make the same mistake again.
Amen.
You want to be wiser. You want to know the tactics of the enemy. Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
We're not ignorant of his devices. They knew that. Now, verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Ha, friends. You know what they're doing? They're sending bribes, money, to the throne, to the palace, hiring certain counselors, go before the king, make intercession against these people, go and accuse them. What's that? That's warfare. That's spiritual warfare, friends. These people are just trying to build the foundation of the Lord's house, mixing their cement, putting in some stones, just trying to serve the Lord. They don't know there's a great conflict going on before the throne. There's accusation, there's a warfare going on. What to do? To try to stop them from building. Oh, friends, that sounds familiar to you and me. In your life, in my life, is it not exactly the same thing? Job didn't know the conflict, the warfare that was going on before the throne. He didn't know the accusations that were taking place. He didn't know the agenda the devil had in heavenly places. But these people, these counselors are now come to frustrate, and they're using all of the ingenuity, using all of the influence, using all of their cunning, using all of the evil to try to weaken the hands of those that are building. Trying to influence from the throne, around the throne, to see, to stop the power that came forth from the throne to help them to build. That's what's going on there in verse 5. All those days. The prophet says, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So many times we get all to a place where we can't stand still because we're nervous. Just as we start to do something good, we see trouble coming. But that's the devil trying to upset the program of God. We find it in our individual lives. We find it in our church world. We find it in our national affairs. You find it everywhere. And then we can know that when we are getting ready to do right, wrong is always present.
Amen.
But the way to overcome that is to think in your heart, which way would God have you to go?
Amen.
Which is the best way?
Amen.
And stay with that way.
Amen.
Don't be distracted.
Amen.
Our friends, there's so many things to distract. But brother so-and-so said this about me. You've been distracted. Oh, sister so-and-so sat in my chair on Sunday. You've been distracted. Oh, the deacon said this to my child. You've been distracted. That's not your adversary. That's not the battle that you're supposed to be fighting. What is your commission? To build him a house.
Amen.
So that his glory may dwell in the house.
Amen.
Let's not be sidetracked by secondary things.
Amen.
It's so easy, friends. We get ourselves meddling in other people's affairs. Why does brother so-and-so do that all the time? Why does sister so-and-so do this? Why is that? Why do they do that? Why? No, friends. Stop asking all those whys. That's none of your business. That's not part of your commission to deal with those things. Other people are ordained to deal with those things. Stay with your commission. Is that part of your calling? By you getting yourself involved in that, is it making you more effective in your calling? It's not. It's weakening your hands, and it's going to weaken the hands of others. It's going to frustrate other people that are trying to build. Let's stay out of other people's affairs.
Amen.
Stay out of other people's business. If you don't understand something, pray for that person.
Amen.
Pray for them. If you don't understand the way something's done, come and speak to us. Let's sit down and reason together. That's the best way that things should be done. Keep it transparent. Keep it open.
Amen.
Friends, we're under the same commission. We're on the same page of the book.
Amen.
We see ourselves all there. Listen, Ezra chapter 2. We've been predestined under this anointing, predestined under Zerubbabel in our age.
Amen.
Let's never forget that, friends.
Amen.
But Satan is a master at sidetracking people. He's a master. Like he did with Samson, he knew this guy, when he's in his commission, he's undefeatable, unbeatable.
Amen.
I can do nothing. I send 1,000 Philistines against this man.
Hallelujah.
1,000 Philistines with their thick armor, their shields and their spears and their swords. And here's just Samson, they just with his 7 locks of hair. But he was in his commission.
Amen.
What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came and filled the temple.
Amen.
And he took the old jawbone of an ass and he smote them. Smote them, 1,000 Philistines. You might not believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
Friends, but the devil knew, this man's too much of a threat. So what does he do? He gets him sidetracked. A woman of Timnath. Delilah of the valley of Sorek. Yeah? He knows how to get you out of that channel. He knows how to try to entice you. And friends, some of us, you know the biggest problem we have. I used to have that problem. Many people can't say no to people. Someone will say, please, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? And you can't say no. And you get yourself so busy. You get yourself so much caught up in so many things. You're so tired you can never spend time for the things of God. Sometimes you need to say no. I need time with God. I need time with my family. I need time to rest. You can't say yes to everybody. The devil will see that weakness inside of you and know that I just need to pull this string and I get him outside of the channel of his calling.
Amen.
Friends, let's learn from our mistakes we've made.
Amen.
Let's learn from the things that we've been through.
Amen.
Ask yourself, is this going to make me more effective?
Amen.
for me phoning this person to speak about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, is it going to make me more effective in my commission? Is it going to make her more effective in her commission? Is this going to help us in building a house that His glory may come and dwell? It's a good thing to ask yourself, friends. Just as much as we as a church, we need to assess the different things we're trying to do. Are they being effective? At the meeting, we spoke about our outreach. We tried outreach. It wasn't very effective. We went out, we did this, that, and the other. So we thought, hey, saints, let's change this. Let's pray about this. Let's make an evangelistic team of those people who feel called to do outreach. Let's focus our attention more. Let there be somebody there who has a gift of doing tracts and those kind of things. You need that. Let maybe a musician be there who can play music on the streets. Let there be people given to prayer. Let there be people that are good at preaching on the street, speaking to people on the street. Bring the people together, make a team, gather together in somebody's house, pray about things, seek the mind of God.
Amen.
Bring it to the prayer meeting. Say, brothers, we want to do an outreach next week on Saturday in such a place. Please pray for us.
Amen.
You know, try maybe to find a better way of doing it. We tried it just scattering, shooting everywhere in the air, hoping we'd hit something. We didn't hit very much, so it's better maybe just call a halt to it and say, buddy, let's try to be more effective in this.
Amen.
Let's not just use our resources in that kind of way. Let's see if we can be more effective in those things. Just today in the youth, I was asking the youth. I was saying, how can we be more effective in youth? What would be the best way, like if you've got a convention coming up? What are the problems the young people are going through? What are the questions that are upon their hearts? So that when we have our convention and Brother Howard Searle comes and preaches and Brother Lubanzi is coming to take meetings at the youth meetings, that it may be more effective.
Amen.
There may be a focus. It may be addressing certain needs. It may achieve the effect that it's been set up to achieve. I think, friends, if we pray like that, the Lord will really help us.
Amen.
If the Lord will grant us that. But the prophet says the way to overcome. Think in your heart which way God would have you to go, which is the best way, and stay that way.
Amen.
Because you're going to have a lot of things. Remember the Joshua Commission. Turn not to the left hand or the right.
Amen.
But you're going to have to be strong.
Amen.
You're going to have to be very courageous. Because there's going to be many things that are going to try to move you to the left and the right. Oh, friends, how we learned that through our own sorrow, don't we? Now, in church order, he says, look. He says, remember, God is looking to me to see that I stay in the Word. And I'm looking to you to see that you carry out the Word. And keep it spiritual.
Amen.
Keep it spiritual. For remember, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
So they started to grow. They laid the altar. They laid the foundation of the temple once again. All of the weapons of the dark kingdom of Satan were against them. These adversaries started to fight against them. They didn't want things to get too established. They wanted to try to hinder it and stop it before that achieved the full purpose. The prophet says, you must be soldiers, not just fresh recruits. You're aged soldiers now that's been trained to fight. And Satan will come among you. Cause you to dispute with one another if he can. Turn him down just immediately.
Amen.
Your brethren.
Amen.
And it's the enemy.
Amen.
Let's not sleep, saints.
To
those that are sleeping. Your brethren and it's the enemy. And we are here to hold a standard in this evening light time.
Amen.
That's what we want, our friends. Don't you want that? Don't you want this place filled with His glory?
Amen.
Don't you want it to be such a deep visitation of God? Until there'll be visions.
Hallelujah.
There'll be prophecy.
Amen.
That God will raise people up with gifts of miracles.
Amen.
Is that not what you desire? That's our commission, friends. We haven't
Amen.
Got there yet. Let's not stop short of fulfilling our commission. Let's not just rejoice because we laid an altar, we laid a foundation. No, 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 let's push on. But the moment we start pushing on, be careful. Because the adversary is going to be there. He's not going to leave it the way that it is. And look in verse 24 of that same chapter that we just read. Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. These adversaries, they achieved their purpose. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And friends, to our shame, I'd say almost for 2 years, the work almost stopped here.
Amen.
We're just coming on Sabbath, gathering in his house, you go back home. You come on Sabbath, gather in his house, go back. But you're not going any further to fulfilling the commission. It's not effective anymore. You've lost the effectiveness of what it's all about.
Amen.
You're just coming, you're going, you come, you go, but there's no progress. There's no momentum. Why? Because the frustrations and the weakening, you know what it does? It brings you out of the channel of the vision.
Amen.
It brings you out of the reality of the channel of your commission. And the moment you come out from that heavenly place, what starts to happen? You start to think about your natural affairs more now. You start to think, but hey, you know, I need to get a degree. You know, my friend from school, he got a degree. You know, me, I need to do this, I need to do that. I don't have any life insurance. Imagine if I die. What will happen to my wife and my... You start to think like that. I need to get a house. Hey, I don't want to stay at a council house all my life. Hey, let me work extra overtime on the weekends just for a little bit, just so that I can raise a deposit. And once I paid the deposit, then things will come back to normal. Friends, that's symptoms and signs of we've been frustrated and weakened.
Amen.
By the adversary. We've lost the vision. We've come out of the channel of our commission. Amen. It wasn't like that at first.
Amen.
You wouldn't have thought like that at first.
Amen.
You wouldn't have done those things at first.
Right.
What does it say to the Ephesian church age? It didn't take long for them, the adversary, to weaken them.
Amen.
They were full of this glory. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. By chapter 5, there's trouble in church. The Greek widows are arguing with the Hebrew widows about the giving out of food. Then Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 6, they're coming and lying and cheating and people are stealing and so forth from one another. And the glory starts to depart. And even in that first Ephesian church age, Christ has to come and cry out and say, you've left your first love.
Amen.
You've left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen.
Amen.
Remember what you used to be. Go back in your mind. Think at what you used to be. Then go back in action and do the first works.
Amen.
Otherwise, I'll come and take away your candlestick. Our friends, the enemy, we can laugh at the devil sometimes, but he knows what he's doing. He knows how to work on us. And then you look at the effectiveness inside of your own calling. You look at the vision, how it's dimmed. And you say, but how did it get here? Just go and look under the seal in the book. And you'll find yourself in the book of Ezra.
Amen.
It's the same devil.
Amen.
Using the same plans.
Amen.
But the good thing about it, that's not the end of the book of Ezra.
Amen.
That's what I like about it.
Amen.
It's not the end of the book of Ezra. So let's keep looking under the seal and see what comes next. That's what I like to do. The prophet says, place yourself in the book.
Amen.
Don't say just by his stripes I'm healed. Say by his stripes
Amen.
John Quartz is healed.
Amen.
See yourself in the scripture.
Amen.
See yourself in the book of Ezra. See yourself under the restoration move. See yourself and see where God's going to take you next. Because that's what comes next in here. So the people now, they cease building. They cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, which was the entire commission. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. It stopped for years. I think it was from 522 to about 59. It was about 3 years, I think. Imagine the people who are just coming to church at the or coming to the altar at the time of the festivals, coming for Passover, they're coming for tabernacles, you know, they're coming just to offer the prescribed feasts. But they're not fulfilling the commission anymore.
Amen.
And the Lord's looking from heaven and saying, but that's not why I separated you from Babylon.
Amen.
This isn't the purpose. And friends, whenever a vacuum's caused, something comes and fills the vacuum.
Amen.
So the moment they start building the house of the Lord, what do? They start building their own houses. They start building their own houses. They start thinking of their own lives, thinking of themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. But that mustn't be your primary focus.
Amen.
Even if you have to live in a rented house for the rest of your life, if that's going to help you fulfill your commission,
Amen.
It's more than worthy to make that kind of a sacrifice. Rather than to sacrifice your strength and your health and your time to try to store up money to buy yourself a house and you fail to fulfill your commission. You'll be the most miserable person.
Amen.
You just need to look, how can I be more effective? What's hindering me from being effective inside of my calling? And that's what they did. This is where the book of Haggai comes in. We know it well. Let's read Haggai chapter 1. At this time now, this 3 year period when the work stops. There's no progress being made. People have lost the vision. This is now when Haggai comes in. God sends Haggai the prophet and Zechariah to them. Now look at exactly that same time, the second year of the reign of Darius we just read. Now it's Haggai 1 verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. I love the way the scripture is very particular. That's how it needs to be with you and me, friends. You need to say, on the 20th day of March, in the year 2016, the word of the Lord came to me and said,
amen.
Get back to your commission.
Amen.
That's what it needs to be. That's how it was with these people. God sent a message at a certain space of time exactly that day. And look what the message was. In the sixth month, first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel. Aha. So the quickening power, God's bringing back the eagle anointing again.
Amen.
He's coming to quicken Zerubbabel in his commission. Zerubbabel obviously types the prophet, but types us as the believers as well. We under the commission, we have to build him a house.
Amen.
Governor of Judah and Joshua, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's amazing what people can say. But they weren't saying what God was saying.
Amen.
What they were saying wasn't in harmony with the desire that God had. They were saying, it's not time now. Things are hard. I need to finish this and I need to finish that first. It's not time for me to build the house of the Lord now. The Lord heard it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord heard it.
Amen.
Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?
Mm.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It's
Amen.
Good to consider our ways. As a church, let's consider our ways.
Amen.
Let's consider all the activities we're doing, all the time we spend, all the resources we're using. Let's consider whether these things are helping us to fulfill this commission or not.
Amen.
How are we spending our time? What are we preaching about? All these things, let's all of us consider our ways.
Amen.
The Sunday school teachers, consider your ways.
Amen.
The youth leaders, consider your ways. Musicians, consider your ways.
Amen.
Husbands and wives, consider your ways.
Amen.
Young people, consider your ways.
Amen.
Ask yourself, is the channel I'm in a channel that's helped me to fulfill the commission or not?
Amen.
Because if you're not, we need to repent.
Amen.
We need to consider our ways and repent. We're going to have to separate from certain things, die to certain things. Lay ourselves on the altar.
Amen.
As a burnt offering once again, as we were in the days of our youth, so that its glory may come into us and quicken us under the eagle anointing once again in the commission. That's why he sent Haggai, a minor prophet, to them at that time to say, consider your ways.
Amen.
Consider your ways. And the good thing is, they considered their ways. Because the predestinated always respond to the anointing.
Amen.
So in the anointing, after the few years of frustration and disappointment and being weakened and stopping building, the anointing comes back again.
Amen.
And says, let's get back to the commission.
Amen.
Let's go and build his house. Let's not forget why we were separated from Babylon.
Amen.
Let's not forget, friends, why this message came to us. This message never came to us just like I always say, so we can strive with one another. This message came to us so that you can be a tabernacle of the living God.
Amen.
So the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. And anything less than that, we're failing in our commission.
Amen.
We're failing in our commission. We may get 10,000 here. What good is it going to do us? We don't just accumulate numbers. We want his glory.
Amen.
We want his fullness to be here. That's his desire. That's why he raised us up. Let's not forget, we are his attributes.
Amen.
We are his mechanics.
Amen.
He is the dynamics.
Amen.
That soul in you, that gift in you, that calling in you, that's his attributes.
Amen.
Yeah? That's his mechanics that he's put inside of you. That calling that he's given you. That investment that he's made inside of your life. But friends, outside of the coming of the dynamics, it doesn't ever help us to fulfill what he desires to fulfill. And that's why we need to focus and say, how can we help get things to a better place to allow this commission to be fulfilled? So when we were speaking the other day at the officers meeting, we spoke about Wednesday night meetings. Friends, our Wednesday night meetings are so poorly attended. I don't think they could be more poorly attended. Even if we tried to attend them less, it would be hard. They're so badly attended. So we're trying to think of a better way to spend our Wednesdays. So we're speaking about house meetings. So please pray about that.
Amen.
To have house meetings, cottage meetings like the prophet said on a Wednesday. We have to first do certain things. Brother Max is going to be away in Italy for a couple of weeks as well. But really pray about that.
Amen.
We want to be more effective in our use of resources.
Amen.
Why spend a lot of time and effort to come and there's just a handful of people? Why not let's say, okay, this isn't really effective. It's not really suiting the way things are done. Because what good is it just to keep with a tradition when that tradition's not helping you to fulfill the commission?
Amen.
Away with the tradition.
Amen.
Let's find something that works.
Amen.
Something that's scriptural. Something that God can bless.
Amen.
Something that'll make us more effective in fulfilling the commission.
Amen.
That's what we desire. Then we spoke to Brother George and asked him, he's at work today, but ask him please to start the Friday night all-night prayer meetings again.
That's right.
It's not a preaching service. But he's going to do it every second Friday, starting this week on Friday. And that helped a lot of young people. It helped a lot of people. Just gathering together, listen to a little bit of the message, pray. Listen to the message, pray. Friends, if you want to get deeper in the Shekinah glory, the prophet says, prayer meetings to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the way that it's done. To lay yourself upon the altar. You know, so we want to start that. And I asked Brother George, he's agreed to do it again. Brother Wilmore helped on that. Just to generate an atmosphere so the young people who are coming to the faith, who haven't broken through into that realm where they know His glory, that at least there's a place where other people are praying. They can also enter into the atmosphere of prayer. It's not a preaching service. It's just people gathering for prayer.
Amen.
So we just asked him to do that once again. That helped Brother Cheslin so much, I remember. It helped Brother Kingsley so much. It helped Brother Max Jr. so much. That many saints, many of the young people. And friends, we're just trying to see how we don't have much time, don't have much resource. Everyone's busy. Everyone's scattered around. How can we try to find some way to fulfill this commission a little bit better? And that's another way we can do it. So anybody who'd like to support that, please do. It's just for prayer, just to seek the face of God. Just to really, really spend time before the Lord and generate an atmosphere and encourage the young people to teach them how to pray, to break through into that realm which you and I know is just so very, very important. So that's what you want to do, the use of our resources. So these people, what did they do? They lost the vision. They lost the purpose. They forgot what the objective was.
Amen.
Gathering, but without that real objective. So friends, God now, He started to grant them grace.
Amen.
Things had been paralyzed for a while, but God knew how to bring them back. And friends, all that God needs to do to His people is visit them once again. That's all that's needed. Just to visit His people once again. That's all that you need. Because He came to Zerubbabel and He said what? It's not by power.
Amen.
It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, said the Lord.
Amen.
That's what allows you to fulfill the commission. It's not by power. It's not all the effort that you put in. Not how strong you are in your personality, not how forceful you are in your reasonings and arguments, not how much you can jump and run and scream and pray. It's not that. Those things are all good. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And He was reminding him that to say, outside of me, outside of my Spirit, you can never fulfill this commission. And then he came down. We'll just skip through it. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, we won't read it. But he comes and encourages the people. The people go back. And then he comes with a promise and he says, my friends, the latter house is going to be more glorious than the former house. That's what he says. He says, the Lord who you seek is going to come to this temple. Because the people started to build the temple in the book of Haggai. But it wasn't such a great ornate temple like Solomon's temple. And some of the people were saying, but this isn't what it used to be like in Solomon's temple. And the Lord says, don't be surprised. Don't judge by outward appearance because the Lord who you seek is going to come to this temple.
Amen.
And that's the temple Jesus came to.
Amen.
Was this temple that they built in the book of Haggai. Now how did they, let's finish with this thought. We'll pick it up again next weekend. How did it start once again when they lost the vision? You'll read this in Ezra chapter 6, chapter 5 and 6. I'll just skip through it. What did they do? They appealed to the king. When everything had been stopped, they said, but hey, we've got a commission here. Cyrus commissioned us to do this work. So they sent now to the king. They made an appeal to the king to say, please, can't you go and check among the records of the kingdom? Do you see whether there's not a proclamation, a commission that was given to us by Cyrus in the first year of his reign? That's what they did. They spoke to the king. Ah, friends.
Amen.
They didn't need something new.
Amen.
And the king, what did he do? He gets his servants, appoints them. Go and search among all the records. And then he finds the scroll. And they bring it to Darius and he says, ah, thus says Cyrus in the first year, what? The Lord has commissioned to build me a house. Let's read that in Ezra chapter 6. It's very interesting. Then came the renewed commission. It was the same commission, but Darius the king had to speak to them once again. Ezra 6 verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And it was found at Akmetha, in the palace that is in the province of Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written in the first year of Cyrus. That was their commission.
Amen.
Friends, you may get spiritual amnesia, but your commission has never changed.
Amen.
The commission still with the king is never forgotten. If you go back to him, he'll renew your commission. He'll remind you of the commission. Moses, when he lost the vision, went to the backside of the desert. He never lost his commission. God never said, let me go and find another prophet to fulfill this. God just waited for the right time. Then he came in the burning bush. Then he revealed, Moses, you've always been the one that I appointed to do this work. No matter all the mistakes you've done, no matter the mistakes and the failings and the faults and the weakening and the losing of the vision, I am the Lord and I change not. He doesn't change, friends. He's never had a new thought about you. Because the thoughts of God are real, they're eternal. He can't have a new thought. And the prophet says, that was a great encouragement to Joshua, was when the Lord said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He said, because Moses made so many mistakes. And Joshua said, oh, if God will be with me, the way he was with this man who made all these mistakes, there's hope for me yet. And I'm glad that as I was with Moses, he's going to be with us. Despite the time to get the amnesia, we lose the vision, we get out of the channel of the commission. But God has never had a new thought. He can't change his mind about anything. If God thought of you, if your name was there, your name will be there at the end. If you're supposed to be among the 49,750, you're going to be there. Even if your hand gets weakened, even if you're going to start building your house, your name's still there on the record. And in due season, the king's going to speak to you once again and say, consider your ways. Go up to the forest and cut down the trees. Come and build my house. And the people responded when the seal was opened to them once again. And the king gave them grace. Look at verse 6. What happened now when the king found out that there was definitely a commission? Now therefore, Tatnai. He starts speaking to the adversaries now. He says, now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar Boznai and your companions, the Arpharchasites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence.
Amen.
Ah, friends, I like that.
Yes.
In the word of a king, there's power.
Amen.
Jesus could just speak, your daughter's healed.
Amen.
And that adversary had to listen. Our friends, all he has to do is speak to us once again and say, you adversaries, be ye far from thence. And friends, it'll break every shackle and every chain of the enemy that you had bring. Be ye far from thence. Verse 7. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Friends, I see myself in the sea. I see myself there in this day, at this time, in this place. I'm sure you see yourself as well. Verse 8. Moreover, I make a decree that you shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men that they be not hindered. The king says, it's my time now. give them everything they need to fulfill the commission.
Hallelujah.
That was the time. Give them everything.
Amen.
You're trying to hold things back from them. In fact, you go to your treasury as governor and you give them every week sufficient money to buy what they need to finish that house.
Hallelujah.
That's what he told them.
Amen.
To build a house. Verse 9. And that which they have need of, both of young bullocks and rams and lambs, for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, oil, according to all the appointments of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail.
Amen.
Whenever they open their Bibles, I'm going to speak to them.
Amen.
There's going to be oil and wine. When they gather for communion service, the blood of the Lamb is going to be there. Give them everything they need.
Amen.
Hurt not the oil and wine. Give them everything that they need. Verse 10, why? That they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this.
Amen.
Friends, the king meant business. And the king means business, friends. He wants his house complete. He wants to dwell in the midst of his people. He's saying to his people, consider your ways. Back to the commission. It's nothing new. It's back to the original. Back to the original altar that you once had. Back to the original attitude you used to have. Back to the original prayer life that you used to have. It's time to go back. It's the season of restoration. Easter is the season of restoration. Nature testifies of it. His word testifies of it. It's the season of restoration for each and every one of us. Let's finish with this scripture, Haggai chapter 2, just to show the prophetic ending of it all. Haggai 2. This is what he says to Zerubbabel and them. Verse 6. This is the end of his prophecy when he gets them back in the channel. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. That's our day. He's going to shake this age, friends. Verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations, Christ, shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And all we can say as the sons and daughters of God is, be it unto us according to your word. Overshadow us, Lord. Not our will. Let thy will be done. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship. Amen. Let's come to a time of worship, saints. We're so glad today as well to be able to elect the officers of the church. These are the ones that God has ordained to take positions. And as we said on Friday, there's going to be adversaries. There'll be disappointments, but we thank God for the sons of God that He's given to us. Wonderful men of God that have been so helpful in the building of this house. And may the Lord help those that have helped lay the foundation. May they also be privileged to see the coming of the capstone when He comes in His glory.
Prisoner's chair, in bleeding stripes, poor and silent, pray that night, and in their pain began to sing, their chains are loose. Your name, I bless. bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. If you should find you're in the praise and in your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of times so hard, reach out by faith. Rise and know, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. The light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time, reach out by faith to eyes unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless, I bless, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
That song was for those that are down in the valley. Let's sing one for those who aren't there. Let's sing that song. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad that you're one of them? Which side are you on? Are you on the side of them that are heading towards the commission? or you're on the side of those that are weakening the hands that are building. It can change today, friends.
Amen.
If you just get that spirit off you, you find His spirit will come upon you. And God's spirit is sent to edify. It's sent to build. It's sent to establish. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing, "I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them."
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
One of them.
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
So glad we can say we're one of them. Let's bow our heads. Is anybody here before we had come to the next part of the service? And inside of your heart, there's a deep and inward hunger inside of you. And you're saying, I'm tired of trampling this mountain. I want to turn northwards now. I want to cross Jordan. I want to go to where all of the promises are. Oh, friend, if you want to raise your hand, it's a declaration of war. Amen. It's a declaration of war against those very things that are trying to hold you back. Amen. But it's a glorious warfare, friends, because he said, I will be with you and I will be in you right to the end of the age. He said, I will be an adversary to your adversaries. I will be an enemy to your enemies. He says, those that bless you, I'll bless them. And those that curse you, I'll curse them. Oh, friends, why not raise your hand to him today and say, Jesus, I'm declaring warfare against this that would make warfare against my commission. You called me under the Joshua commission. You called me under the Zerubbabel commission. You've called me, Lord, to build you a house so you can show forth your glory in this age. Father, thy will be done. If that's your desire, let's speak to him for a short time before we come to the voting for offices. Let's pray, saints, amen. Oh, Father, looking unto thee, Lord, upon this day, thanking you for your grace, your mercy, your good and your gracious and your kind, Father, your ways are past finding out, Lord, your grace is just wonderful. Lord. Help us now as we come, Father, to this next stage. I'd ask and pray as I would look unto thee, as I would want to minister grace, Lord Jesus, I pray in every situation, Brother Kwame, raise him up, Lord. Touch him, Father, Lord, I pray. Just the rest of your people, we dedicate them to thee. Fathers, we look to thee. Want to wait upon thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even upon this day. For your glory we pray. Amen. Amen, Lord. Just be with us, Lord, as we look unto thee, Father. Amen. Amen, Lord. Saints, let's just read Acts chapter 6 before we have our seats. Would you mind standing for the scripture? Acts chapter 6, we'll read the first few verses. We won't take long. Acts 6 from verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just wanted to come to the time now for the election of deacons and trustees. We'd ask each of them to kindly come up. As deacons, Brother David's not here today because of his car, but we'll vote for him anyhow. But Brother Will, would you come, please, bro? So Brother Wilmore has agreed, and I'm really glad that he has to continue on in the office of a deacon. Brother Ellie, if you'd come, please. Brother Ellie, he's been on probation for the last few months as a deacon. But the wonderful thing, friends, is that everybody has their own nature, their own personality, and therefore used by the Lord in different ways. And that's why you have a team of people. Because each one has strengths that can help the others, and each one can cover for the weaknesses of other people as well. So it's been a blessing. Brother David's also agreed that he would like to continue on as a deacon in the house of the Lord. So we'd like to vote for these brothers. We also want to vote for trustees. We'd ask if Brother Vergus would come forth. Please, Brother Vergus. Brother Vergus is the treasurer, and he has agreed to continue on as the treasurer. Brother Shep, if you'd come, please, Brother Shepherd. Brother Shepherd's been doing the work of a trustee on the sound for these months gone by. And then Brother Jose, if you'd come, please. Brother Jose has also agreed to join the team of trustees to help, and we're really glad about that, so we'd like to vote for him as well today. I think it'll be a real blessing. I think sometimes people don't realize how much work the brothers do behind the scenes, but they do a tremendous job, saints. You don't really know how much, you know, for this church to, there could be so many more problems, so many more things if it wasn't for these brethren. And they're working, they've got their own issues in life, they've got their own families, but we really thank God for all of the service that they give. And we really pray God's blessing upon them. So let's all bow our heads. We're going to vote for each of them by just a showing of hands. Please make sure every eye is closed, every head is bowed. We'll start off first. Now there's something about voting. You're not voting about a person. You're voting about how you see their suitability to hold a certain office. So if you feel that a certain person, I believe this person will be a good deacon, a good trustee, vote yes. It's nothing to do with the personality of a person. It's to do with their suitability to help us as a church to fulfill our commission. And that's what we're really voting about. So all of those in this house that would be satisfied to see Brother Wilmer continue on as a deacon, please raise up your hand. Those, please put your hands down. Thank you. Please close your eyes, everybody. Thank you. Even the children, please close your eyes. Anybody here who would not desire Brother Wilmer to continue on as a deacon, please raise your hand. God bless you. We'll come now to Brother David. He's not here today, but we'll vote in his absence. All of those in favor of Brother David continuing on as a deacon in the house of God, please raise your hand. Please put them down. Thank you. Anybody who would feel Brother David should not continue on as a deacon, please raise your hand. We come to Brother Eli. All those who would be in favor of Brother Eli continuing on after his probation now as a deacon to be a deacon, please raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody not in favor, please raise your hand. Amen. Come to the trustees. All those in favor of Brother Virgus continuing on as the treasurer of the church and the trustee in charge of the property of the church, please raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody not in favor, please raise your hand. Come to Brother Shepherd. All those in favor of Brother Shepherd being a trustee in the house of the Lord, helping with the sound, please raise your hand. Please put your hand down. And anybody not in favor, please raise your hands. Thank the Lord. Finally, Brother Jose. All those in favor, Brother Jose, taking the office once again. He used to be the treasurer of the church years back, of being a trustee once again in the house of the Lord. Please raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody not in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, you can raise your head, saints. It's really powerful. I read the message, if you read it, placing of deacons. And the prophet brought the trustees and the deacons before, and he said, you know, it's an amazing thing. He said, bringing six men up before the church of God and not having one person vote against them is a wonderful thing. Amen. So we do thank you. Not one single person voted against the saints. So we got it. Let's pray for them one by one to ask for God's blessing upon their courses. We'll start with Brother Shepherd. Let's ask Brother Max to come. Brother Francois, please come to order. Come in progress. Brother Max. Sorry, Brother. He already wants to do his job. He wants to go and fix the microphone. Let's pray for you, Brother.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our brother, Brother Shep. Father, we thank you, Lord, for his willingness to be a vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use, to be used of you, Father, to minister to the needs of your people. Father, Lord, to be a minister as a trustee of the church. I pray that you'll bless him. I pray that you'll fill him with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of grace. I pray that you'll overcome his obstacles, that you'll fight his battles. I pray that you'll spend many days and much time in the house of the Lord. We pray your blessing upon him, Lord. We pray that you'll consecrate him by your grace, by your presence, to the service of a trustee. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the blessed service that our brother continually gives, Lord. Father, the sacrifice is already made, Lord. We bless him, Lord, with your richest spiritual blessings. Continue to give him the spirit of wisdom. Continue to give him unction. Continue to be his strength. Continue to be his rock. Fight his battles, Lord. Prosper him, Lord, in the natural. Prosper him materially. Prosper him spiritually, Lord. Continue to use him, Father, to be a blessing to your people. In all his dealings with people, Lord. And Holy Ghost overshadow him, Lord. Grant him that wisdom that is required, Lord, to continue to aid him, Lord, that he may continue to fulfill the commission that you've laid upon his life. Bless him, we pray. Bless his family, Lord.
Father, let him live by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus.
Let's pray for Brother Eric. Heavenly Father, we so thank you, Lord, that our brother, Lord, has heard your voice. And Father, has submitted himself unto thee, Father, to give himself over to your service. May you bless him for that, Lord. Father, may you be an adversary to his adversaries, Lord. Father, may you help him, Lord, in everything that he does, Lord. Father, Lord, as he waits upon me, Lord, continue to give him the spirit of wisdom and grace, Lord. And guide him and keep him, Lord, I pray. Bless him, bless his family, bless his children, Lord. Bless all his dealings to the sons and daughters of God. Give him wisdom, give him inspiration, even in his desire to be witness of the Lord. Father, use him, bring forth much fruit. Father, may he be the vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use. Bless him as his people in your eyes. Father, we commit him to your hands. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Burgess, Lord, all the years of service that he has given, Lord, to your sons and daughters. Heavenly Father, his faithfulness, Lord, his honesty, Lord, his integrity, Lord. I pray that you'll bless him, Lord. I pray that you'll bless him as the treasurer, Lord. I pray that you'll give him, Father, wisdom and grace and understanding, Lord. I pray that you'll bless him as a trustee, Father, Lord, who looks over, Lord. The possessions, Lord, of the property of this church, Lord, granting wisdom, granting grace, and lead him and guide him day by day to fight his battles, Lord, with prayer. Establish him, Father, help him in his child, Lord, granting grace, and lead him in the house we pray. Bless his family, Lord Jesus, Father, every way, Father, body, soul, and spirit, bless his house as he blesses the house of God.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Jose. Oh, Father, so wonderful to see him once again. Father, standing before your people, Lord, with the desire to see him once again, take up a sacred office of the house of worship. Father, Lord, as we enter into the walls of service and your passion, we turn to the Lord. Heavenly Father, the days so bright and hard, Lord, we pray that your blessing, Lord, do some of the problems, Lord, and the abilities, Lord. May that holy action, Father, help your body, Lord, guiding the best of us with people and the church. Father, you guide him and lead him, Lord. Once he is in the best way, Lord. My Father, you be the spirit of God who be upon him, Father. Lord, help his family, help his children, his children, and his children, Lord. Even in his studies, Lord, bless him, prosper him, Lord. Grant him faith in all things, Lord. May that Holy Ghost overshadow him, lead him, and guide him, and use him for your glory, we pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord. Just a quick announcement for next weekend. We've got some services next weekend. Brother Tommy is going to come to preach for us on Friday evening, this coming Friday, Easter Friday, Good Friday. So we'll be having our service at 7 o'clock on Friday. And then Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a service again. Brother Tommy is coming to preach again Saturday afternoon, 2:30. We'll then, Saturday evening, which is Easter, we'll have a communion service that evening. We're supposed to have had communion 2 weeks back, but we held it over for Easter. It's a blessed time to take communion. So Brother Tom will preach for Friday evening, preach for Saturday afternoon. We'll stay in church, have a short break, and then we'll have communion service Saturday evening. And then we'll just have normal service on Sunday. So those who think Brother Tom's asked me to go to take service for him on Sunday evening. So if you remember those services, please. I learned a very big thing this year from Easter. It's not easy to get people for Easter. We need to start preparing now for next Easter, because either people have conventions in their own churches, so they need to be there, or they've invited visiting ministers, or you've got to book visiting ministers quickly to get. Brother Lubanza is away as well. May the Lord bless him as he goes away. I think he's doing youth meetings. He's holding meetings this Easter. Let's pray for him. But let's pray about it for next year, that the Lord may help us, even at this time, to find people that are quickened to come to us next Easter. So we'll have Brother Tom for two services, have a communion service, and we'll have a normal service on Sunday. And let's come. Let's come and rejoice in the house of the Lord. Also, to confirm, we have a trip to Israel planned. I wanted to announce it today. Myself, Brother Lubanza, we agreed let's go to Israel together for a week. That's from May the 22nd to the 29th. It's a Sunday up to a Sunday. May 22nd to 29th. If anybody else would like to come to Israel, please let us know. Contact us on WhatsApp, phone us, whatever you want. We'll give you the details. It's an Israel trip. We'll go, Brother Lubanza and myself. I think it'll be a blessed time.
Amen.
So anybody would like to come, that's the 22nd to 29th of May. We also finally have our youth convention at Castle Whelan in Northern Ireland. It's all confirmed. It's from Wednesday evening, the 30th of June, up to Sunday morning, the 3rd of July, which gives us a total of 8 services we're going to have there. We're going to have 2 different groups. I've just been in contact with Brother Woolsley from America. He's going to confirm. I'm hoping he'll confirm today. He's the brother I mentioned that has a real ministry towards younger children. So that's the 8 to 12-year-olds, 7, 8 to 12-year-olds. So we'd like to have, we won't have 8 meetings for them. We'll probably have 4 meetings for them. And then we have Brother Howard Searle from New Zealand coming to take half of the meetings for the youth themselves, which is from 13-year-olds upwards. So Brother Howard's going to come. He's going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's very good at that. So we're going to have special meetings, special prayer for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Lord's used him in that with youth many, many times before. Brother Lubanza's going to be there as well. He kindly agreed. He's going to be taking services there as well. So I think it'll be a real blessed time. So we've got different saints from England and different places inquiring about it. But please be in prayer for those meetings. We have an aim and an objective. We want his glory in his house. We want him to fill the young people. We want him to visit our younger children. Don't you want that? I want to see my children really, really knowing the Lord. Not just knowing the God of their father, but knowing God personally themselves. That's what you desire. So let's pray for that. That's from the 30th, Wednesday the 30th of June in the evening. An evening service starting at Castle Welling. There's accommodation there. Brother Wilmore's already put out a very nice little website with all the details. You can book, register, and things like that. If anybody needs it, we'll post it again onto the internet. So there's quite a few things coming up. The most important thing, please, keep them in prayer.
Amen.
So that's next weekend's special meetings. That's an Israel trip booked, and that's also our youth convention. And may the Lord help us to be effective in these things, that the Lord may minister us further on to fulfill the commission that is our desire. Let's bow our heads. Ask Brother Francois, if you wouldn't mind, come to close for us in a word of prayer. And may God bless you as we depart from his house.
Most precious of thee, Heavenly Father, once again we thank you this afternoon for the privilege that you have given for us to be in thy praises. Father, we have heard that under Zerubbabel, oh Father, that great mountain will never stand, Father. And we know that we are living in the day of the restoration,
Amen.
Father. And we truly believe a message of the restoration, believing that everything that you have given to us will be restored, Father.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for such a powerful message, oh Father, for today, that lift up our faith once again, that show us, Father, that no matter our mistake, our shortcoming, Father, our failing, your mind, your thought never change toward us, Father. It's good to have a privileged God like you, Father, a God who is not a man, Father. To one another, we may change our mind, Father, but a great privilege that you never change your mind to us, Father. That's why we thank you for that, Father. If it wasn't because of the way you are, God, nobody could stand here, Father, because we are all failure. To begin, we have nothing that we can stand in our own. We daily fail, Father. But you always hold in your promise toward us, Father. You're so patient toward us to see us reaching the adoption and the perfection of our calling, Father. We thank you, Father, and we ask you that you shall bless your servant, Father, that you have used mightily this morning, Father, to come with this word, Father, that really touched our heart, Father, that show, Father, that you are so faithful to thy appointment, Father. The purpose of you calling us to this life, Father, not only that we shall be big man of this life, but we shall fulfill thy commission, Father, that you have commissioned us under Eliezer commission, Father. Father, we thank you for that, Father, and we ask you that man that has stand before thee, Father, to do the work, O Father, of thy house, Father, that you shall undertake in their behalf, Father. Because we know the enemy in many ways. He will always, as the pastor preached, Father, he will do something to weaken us, Father, to let us down, Father. But we should not look at the enemy, Father, but we look at the one that is in us, because the one that is in us is greater than the enemy, Father. You, the one that started the work in us, Father, you will bring it until the end, Father. And we believe that you, the same God that says in John, that those that you have held by your right hand, nobody can take them out of your hand, Father. And we believe we are those people, Father. And we ask you, Father, that you shall bless us all, Father. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit, Father. Amen. We want to see you again manifest yourself in each of us life, Father, in the power of the resurrection, Father, that we may have a new life, oh Father, that all things may pass away and everything become new, Father. Amen. Father, there's many requests that are in the heart of thy people, Father. We ask you that you shall visit each of us heart, Father, and minister according to thy will, Father, because we want your will to be done inside of our life, Father. Father, bless us all, Father. Bless this church, Father. Bring us together, oh Father, to the unity of the spirit, Father. To the unity of the mind, Father. That way we can all work together for your kingdom, Father. Because we are here to see your kingdom being established, Father, in this Iceland of Ireland, Father. That the purpose you send us to this place, Father. Oh Father, we ask you as we depart from this place, that you shall depart with us. That the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, shall go before us, Father. Oh, Father, where the enemy will try to complicate it on the road, Father, we apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the weekend services. Next week, Father, we commit them at thy hand, that you shall bless Brother Tony, Father, that you shall anoint with him with something special, Father, that's going to lift our faith to us again, Father. We know that the Easter is the restoration of everything, Father. Let's be the restoration of our spiritual life, Father, and physically if it's needed, Father. But what we ask you, Father, as the brother sang, Father, is a closer and deeper walk with thee, Father. We want more of thee in our life, Father, in the life of our youth, Father, our children. We want to see you manifest yourself in a special way, because we know education system are against them, Father. The environment is against them, Father. We commend them at thy hand, Father. The desire of our heart, each family in this place, Father, to see our children grown up in this message, Father, that this message, oh Father, not be the message of their Father, but to become their message, Father. Amen. That we can see them, if you tarry, Father, you work done in their life, Father. Amen. Bless us all as we want to depart. We want to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's dismiss with that song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." I want to be in that number. God bless you, saints. Sorry, just one announcement. Can the children please remain behind for a couple of minutes? Amen.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger.
wandering through this world of sin. On my way to that facility, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh, they want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, all I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed in, I'll be shouting glory, glory, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I am waiting for the chariots to sing low, and I'll stay in on the clouds. I'll ride to